Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Parents often wonder, what is my baby thinking? What if there was a way to find out? Teaching your baby sign language can help your nonverbal baby communicate with you and make your life easier and relationships stronger. What is baby sign language? How does it work? I'm Joanne Woolley, owner at Sign for Baby, and this is Parent Savers, episode 37.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I am your host, Casey Wilt. Parent Savers is all about helping new parents from the baby years to the toddler years. And we are so lucky to have amazing experts on our show. So shoot us an email or call our hotline and we will get your questions answered. And we also have a free app, a free newsletter. You can like us on Facebook, send us an email or call our hotline. There are so many ways to be a part of our show. Did you miss an episode that's been archived or want to keep talking to the expert once the show stops? We have a Parent Savers Club where you can download the archived episodes and get exclusive content and more. So I'm a new parent. My son Carson just turned 2, and I'm joined by 3 new parents here in the studio.
Yeah, I'm John O'Reill. I'm a freelance writer and PR consultant, and I'm an experienced and a new again parent. I've got 3 boys, 5, 3, and 18 months.
My name is Jerry Butonda. I'm 31. I'm a speech pathologist, and I'm the proud dad of one daughter. Her name is London, and she's about to turn 2 in March.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jessica Lampier. I am a yoga teacher. I have a daughter named Angelica who is 13 months.
Before we start today's show, here's the latest in the news. So this news headline, here's what it says. New VivoPlay wristwatch helps parents keep track of wayward kids. So it's spurred on by a 4-year-old son going astray. A Norwegian businessman came up with a watch that talks to smartphones, dialing 1 of 5 programmed phone numbers, dad, mom, uncle, and so on. And so this new device that your child wears. And if he runs away or you can't find him, you have a tracking device on your phone. It goes through GPS first. But what do you guys think of it?
That seems like what would be one of the most useful parts of that device is being able to quickly see where they go if your kids are too far out of your sight mm-hmm. and you don't know where they are. I'd be worried with the phone calls that my 4-year-old or 3-year-old might be just using it as a walkie-talkie having fun.
Yeah, that's true. But it doesn't call. The purpose of this, rather than a smartphone, was a smartphone they could call people and text people. And this one, there's a button, a red button on it, and the child can push it. So, for example, if they get taken or anything else, this is another factor of it. Or if they're lost, that would be the nicer way. They can push the button and it'll call mom and it'll call dad and it'll give them just enough time or whatever to say their location. But you're right. I didn't even think about a walkie-talkie. What do you guys think about this? Is it too much? I kind of wonder about the electronic magnetic field of all the, you know, signals that my baby has on me, but I guess the smartphone would be the same.
I think every parent needs it. I've lost my child.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where I'm like, I'm still a quote-unquote new parent, and it's something that I would definitely feel like it would have served me really well, last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, if things like amusement parks or when you're going out also in like public spaces, like, you know, a lot of people dress their kids all in the same clothes, but as part of your routine, just strap on this watch. That would be really cool.
Right. And I think, you know, not having gone through the experience of having lost a child, but I think it's just that one time. And I think all of the parents mm-hmm. who have lost their child or they've been kidnapped, it is that one time. And mm-hmm. so I think this would be a great ease of mind for a parent. And I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I haven't experienced, I have a newly walking child, so thinking ahead, I think that would be really awesome. Just a nice peace of mind. Maybe an upgraded version of the kid leash, you know. Go a little bit farther.
So do you know what the old school way was?
Calling them?
You roll up your kid's arm, put their phone number, I did.
Yeah, right.
During the holidays, we went to this incredibly huge event, and I took all of their pictures, and I took out a Sharpie and I wrote their my phone number on their arm.
Well, it's not a bad idea for someone, you know, if you lose it, find it. Especially nowadays, we're all attached to our phone. So we all have a phone attached to us to call if anything happens to them. They're hoping that with this device that it actually would ward off would-be kidnappers. Once word gets out that there's watches like this, potential child snatchers won't even think twice about scooping up a kid with a weird watch on his arm, you know? I don't know. I go back and forth because I'm like, what happened to freedom and like calling your child home?
Well, think about this, Casey. It's way better than putting a chip inside your child.
Yeah, that's all I can think about right now. Like, okay, you can take the watch off. What's the next step?
And also, I also feel hesitant about giving my child a phone. So it's the step in between that you don't have to give them your phone. Interesting. Well, this will be actually, it was at the Consumer Electronics Show just last weekend. And so it looks like it will be coming to the market. So maybe they want to contact us and do a review. That would be great.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Parent Savers, we have Joanne Woolley from Sign for Baby here with us to talk about baby sign language. So I'm going to start, Joanne, what is the difference between baby sign language and American Sign Language, ASL?
Correct. That's a good question because I am not trying to certify parents in becoming interpreters. That's the key difference. If you really just think about an interpreter signing an entire conversation, we're not aiming for that. We really want to give our children the tools to pinpoint the key thing that they need. But we do use ASL signs in the programs that I teach.
So what is a good time to start baby sign language with your baby?
I differ from what a lot of the parenting books out there say. I say right now. If your baby is going to be born tomorrow, start right now.
Okay.
If your baby is 18 months old and you're thinking it's maybe too late, start right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Some people think that it will help or hinder their language. Like, how do you feel? Does it help or does it hinder?
I personally have not seen it ever hinder the verbal language skills of a child. I have heard over and over and over from parents how it actually helps them acquire more verbal words. And my three children were like off the charts with their verbal capacity.
Have you noticed any of that, Jerry, as a speech therapist with kids who come in who know sign language?
I don't think I've ever had any students come in for speech or sign language, but I would definitely agree. All the research does show that it's, especially now, it isn't what language can I teach my child? Mm-hmm. It's what can I do to help them effectively communicate? Hmm. And I think that's really the point. And I think what a lot of people miss is they feel like, my child's not going to be able to speak, or they're relying on signs too much. Now what? Like, how do I fix them? You know, really the point is they're expressing their wants and their needs now, mm-hmm. while their oral musculature isn't mature enough to handle all of the sounds for English or any adult language. Mm-hmm. So I think the point we need to get away from is language and go towards more, how can I help my child effectively communicate? And I think sign language is the best avenue.
Exactly.
For that.
I agree with that 100%. I have had occurrences where I interact with a parent like that, a play space, and they see that I'm signing with my children and they say, oh, that's cool. We tried that. It didn't work for us. And then I have a little bit more dialogue with them and discovered that their child did have a speech delay. And the parent will sometimes, their child was probably 8 or 9 years old when this conversation took place. So they weren't right now actively signing with their child, but years ago they were. So in their mind, they thought perhaps sign language is what delayed my child's speech. And to the contrary, the research actually shows the opposite.
So maybe it would have been worse if they had never done the sign.
Right? Exactly. They wouldn't have had any tools at all. The idea is to give them tools.
So how soon will your baby start signing after you start implementing the sign language in the house?
It really depends on how many of the techniques that you're implementing. If you're focusing on doing fun signs,
you're going to get them signing a lot faster.
Like cookies. And
personally, I might stay away from cookie because then you're just going to have your child asking for cookie umpteen times a day.
Don't start with McDonald's.
Yeah, right. Well, and I bet your first reaction is, yes, they've made the sign for cookie. And then after the 20th time, you're like, they made the sign for cookie and I don't want to give them cookies, but I want to reward them for signing.
Exactly.
You know?
And what's another good way we can reward them?
McDonald's?
No. We can cheer them on. I understand you. I know that you're asking for cookie. Letting them know that you understand them, in fact, in and of itself, is a reward. It makes them feel really good to be understood. In fact, that's human nature. It feels good to be understood.
Hmm. How soon do you see it come about? Like, you know, you start signing
it
for
varies.
Your board? Okay.
It varies. I started signing with my children from day one, from birth. And my daughter signed at 4 months old and she was my first. And so I was like, all right. I thought that we were like doing really good. And then my son, definitely into gross motor skills more so than language. So he signed at 7 months old. And I had gotten to that point of like, when is he going to sign? When is he going to sign? Because 7 months, you're working at it. Mm-hmm. And then my third one signed at 2 months old.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so there's a lot of variables. I will tell you honestly, with the first two children, there's 17 months apart. So, you know, you get stretched. So maybe I wasn't doing it nearly as rigorously. Mm. Maybe rigorously is the wrong word. I maybe wasn't doing it as much repetition.
Yeah.
Repetition.
Yeah, I would agree. I started signing with my daughter the first day too. And
absolutely.
It was about 3 to 4 months. Hmm. And it was more. More was her first line.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been great. And, you know, I'd say now she probably knows about 100 signs.
Awesome.
She's like 21 months old.
There's a point where you just lose count.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So this is different than ASL. This is just baby signs, you know, or...
So there's actually a trademark company that's called Baby Signs. Mm-hmm. I personally don't use their methods. Not all of their signs are based on ASL. ASL is the third most widely used language in the United States, and that's a fact that a lot of people are not aware of. Mm-hmm. And your children may enjoy it so much that they continue to use it even when they are totally verbal.
So are some of these signs that you use or that you think we should teach our children, are they actual, you said they may or may not be ASL signs or?
So the baby signs trademark is not always using ASL.
Okay.
But the signs that I teach in my class, since my mom is deaf,
okay.
is ASL based.
Okay. How fluent do you, and you want your baby to be? So like I've taught my child basic signs, please, more, thank you, maybe water if I got that far, and that all helped. But then I go over to my friend's house and her daughter goes fan and bear, and part of me feels like, well, he doesn't really need to tell me that the fan needs to be off. You know, like he can point to it and I know it's a fan and pointing. We got it. We're on the same wavelength language-wise. But, I mean, how fluent do we want to teach them what lamp and door and shoe and everything else is or the signs that we need to communicate with?
So let me ask you, Casey, do you ever think about a fan when it's not present in the room?
Rarely.
Okay, but your child is intrigued by fans. Most babies are intrigued by fans.
Right.
So they might be thinking about the dog that was at the park earlier, and they can't point it out to you. They might be thinking about the fan that they saw at the store. They might be thinking about the book that's not in the bedroom right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
that gives you
the ability to see what they're thinking about. And this all occurs far earlier than what we give them credit for.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Credit for, I don't give my son any credit.
We all of us, we sometimes we just need to work on like, oh yeah, they're super smart. I tell parents, your babies are all smart. We just don't know how smart
right.
until we can see mm-hmm. their ability to communicate with us.
Yeah.
Well, I was just reminded that when we were talking about the difference between the languages, if the goal is though to communicate, I know in our family, when we learned that this meant potty, and I'm shaking my fist, our son was too young to really, I think, understand it. So we kind of changed that to mean diaper. And it's kind of worked for our family. So what do you think about families that kind of take their own meaning?
Adapt. We all adapt.
Yeah.
Right? As some of us use sissy and brother to talk about their siblings, and some of us only purely use their names. So every family's going to have special nuances.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you can have a little leeway with that and still use ASL as your basis.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I used to work for a family, and I taught her to play, which I don't remember the sign, but it's basically shaking. Yes. Like hang loose with two hands. And so I would would do that with her. And one day the mom, the baby adapted it to put one finger up and just shake her finger, kind of like she's shaking no. And so then the mom called me one day and says, I don't know what my daughter's saying to me. And so I had to interpret, but that was for her, was play.
But that happens with regular language too, I think, that someone who's spending more time with your kids, whether it be in a daycare situation or if it's the mom or the dad, may have a better understanding of exactly what the words are that aren't quite being said right. So.
And what's really happening there is it's not that they're adapting it. They don't have all of the fine motor skills to get it exactly. Hmm. Just like with verbal language, though, the same things sort of occur with sign language, that they have to kind of get their fingers in just the correct way. And it takes time. Just like with getting it to be mom, it starts off with mama.
Right.
And, but if they're shaking their hand, you're going to at least have it identified probably to either play or potty, because you're like, the hand shaking. Okay, I've got two things it could possibly be. It's not the whole entire language that I have to pull from. It's two words you've minimized it down to. Right.
And I think that's what stops a lot of people from doing any sort of different thing than they're used to. I think if they're doing sign language or any other kind of communication, they're so concerned on it has to be exact, or whatever I'm doing, it has to be the right way in order for it to be correct. And I think since people are used to whatever their normal language is, they're willing to take those kind of differences and adapt and say in context, and oh, I think I know what you're talking about, let's try this. As with sign language, if they're approximating, that's great. They're communicating, and maybe you're not reading it right now, but as they do it more, you're going to learn that's what they mean. If this for them with the fingers out means play, they'll learn that, and then it's okay if that becomes that, because again, it's more about effective communication and not about the language.
Is it okay to make up your own signs?
I say not to make up your own signs, but I do want to piggyback off of what was just shared. And it happens with verbal language too. I'll just give you this example because it's my favorite one. My daughter was very, very hungry for language, whether it was signs or words. And one day she was saying, Noah, Noah. And I thought, ooh, it must be a big word because she's attempting to actually give me a lot of syllables. So I had my ears perked for that. And it was apparently something I hadn't given her a sign for because she was trying to say it. Noah, 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 Noah. And she looked at me like I should know what that was because apparently I had taught her the word. So I'm asking her, well, can you show me? And she's looking around the room and there's nothing in sight that matches what Noah, Noah is. Well, a week goes by and she's been trying to show me or tell me or ask me about it. Well, finally one day, outside, the lawnmower was going on. She runs over to the couch, super excited, points out the window, Noah, Noah! And I'm like, oh, I might never remember what Noah, Noah is. Let me show you lawnmower. So then I could use that situation and go, yeah, that doesn't sound close enough to lawnmower to me. So now I can give her the sign. And now if she thinks about it, she can be like, yeah, the lawnmower.
Okay. I get it. So it's basically being able to talk to your child about the experiences they have throughout the day and be able to understand what they're saying rather than being in the situation and them pointing it out. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept I didn't think about. So thanks so much. When we come back, we'll talk about the signs that you can do at home and how to find a baby sign language class near you. We'll be right back. We're back with Joanne Woolley from Sign for Baby here with us to talk about baby sign language. So is it important to teach them a ton of words or is just a few okay? Will there be confusion with a larger sign vocabulary?
Personally, I feel like it's good to give them as many words and tools as you can so they can effectively communicate.
But they won't forget it like I do.
They won't. You know what? Because their whole job right now is just to learn. And so it may take a number of times, gosh, months, for them to get the basics down, whatever you start with. When I say basics, I'm not talking about the five signs that most everyone starts with, more, eat, all done, night, night, potty. I'm talking about just whatever you use as your foundation to start with, which I encourage parents to use more fun signs instead of those ones. But the more tools they have, the more your world opens up and the more they get curious about the world. And curiosity is that perfect segue to learning. And then you create a very avid learner.
So there's not, you don't think there's confusion that if everything you do, you're taught, you're doing signs?
I ask parents to start off with a small number at first. It's like a box of puzzle pieces.
For the parents or for the kid?
For both. For both. That's a very good point. Because if as the parents are learning alongside them, you do want to start off with a small number. Mm-hmm. Just so you don't inundate yourself with having to remember so much. Mm-hmm. And you want it to be fun. So start with a small number so you can feel confident. And once you've built your confidence, you're going to get excited just like the child and want to be growing your vocabulary because you're like, look at how much they're curious about. Look at how much they care about all these things that I never would have known. And you're going to continue to grow right alongside them if you started off with the fun stuff.
What are some of the basic signs that you tend to start with in your class?
Great question. These are the ones that are like the surefire winners for us. Milk, because that can be a form of bonding, which for an infant is play.
Okay, and so milk looks...
Milk is like, think of milking a cow. How do you go to grab the udder?
Squeeze your hand.
Now, for any breastfeeding moms, I say, well, guess what? We know that babies will squeeze the boob in order to get more milk expressed. So I say for babies, it's very clear to them that that's milk.
Okay. And you know what? I find that because they want to eat, that's the first sign. They're like, give me some milk.
Yes, yes. Bath is another good one. So you want to take your two fists mm-hmm. and scrub your body up and down.
Okay.
And what baby doesn't love a bath? Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, babies love baths.
It reminds me of saying, you want to go for a walk to my dog. She starts flipping out.
See? Yes, exactly. Exactly. In fact, with bath, my son, I told you he didn't sign until he was 7 months mm-hmm. old, but he understood lots of signs, and I thought it in my mind that he understood them because he'd give me facial cues, receptive understanding. Well, he crawled really early. He crawled at 5 months old. So one day I asked him, Kyle, do you want to go up for? And then I silenced my mouth and showed him only the sign. And he crawled for the stairs like nobody's business to go up for bath. And I was like, he does. He understands. Okay, good.
Uh-huh.
So the understanding always comes first. I want to at least throw that in there.
That's a good.
Yeah. They understand it first, just like with verbal words.
Right.
Understand first, then they'll start to use it on their own. All right. So we got milk. We got bath. Music.
Music?
I mean, we pretty much all enjoy music in one form or another. Uh-huh. So that's another awesome one.
What's the sign for that?
So you take your open hand mm-hmm. and almost like a conductor over your other arm that's in front of you, back and forth, swinging it back and forth.
It's like a conductor.
Yes. Rattle. We tend to have rattles for our little ones, yes. And the fact that the rattle makes this awesome sound when they shake it, so you just are acting like you're holding the rattle and you're moving it back and forth. Shake, shake, shake.
So it could be potty.
So potty actually is with a T.
Okay, with a thumb in between the first finger.
Yes. And then just like you're holding on to the handle of a rattle
okay.
is how you would do the rattle sign. And because that's going to give them a very strong correlation of cause and effect. Of them being able to shake a rattle, see you shaking a rattle, and then they're going to want to do that because they will have had power over making that happen. It really inspires them to continue to do that sign. And rattles are a toy,
yeah.
So that's fun. Light, dog, keys, and water. So I really like when you said that you added in water to your vocabulary.
Well, then I changed it to cup because thank you and water are all in the hand-mouth region, and I was feeling like I was confusing my child by always doing... It's the W. So you have your three fingers at your W and you touch your first finger to your chin and you kind of pull out. And then, you know, thank you is with a closed hand touching your lips or your chin and coming out. And so I was like, oh, he's going to get him confused. And so I started turning into a cup. Do you want your cup? And so that way I didn't have to worry about water, juice, milk. It didn't matter because it covered the gamut of all of them. Because if he asked, because if he wanted milk and I wanted to give him water, I mean, you know.
Well, I'll help you as to why I feel like water is still a better one than
okay.
a cup. Your toddler, in their mind, isn't just thirsty.
Hmm.
In their mind, they do know which one that they want. So giving them the sign for all three differences, water, milk, juice, will help them. And I'm doing the letter J and using it by my mouth. I know that that's not always used in ASL, but I've seen it enough other times that that's just another version of signing juice. So instead of just cup, because what if you give your 18-month-old, that's like a good age to give as an example, a cup of milk. But in their mind, they were like, apple juice.
Yeah.
And then they're like, throwing the cup.
Well, and our 18-month-old, who knows the sign for water, if he sees water somewhere else, even if it's not his drink, he recognizes, oh, look at that lake at Legoland. That's water, water. He's really excited.
Absolutely. Yep. Water in lots of context. And guess what? To help you out, too, from the next baby, Casey, is you're going to speak as you sign.
Hmm.
So your child actually won't get confused at all. To your child, it's not like, ooh, those are too close together. What are two words that sound similar? Shoe and zoo. They'll sound really close. But your child doesn't stop to think like, ooh, I'm not sure if they're going to understand me. They just try to say it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I think it goes back to what we're used to. I think in when you speak, you're like, well, of course they're gonna know the difference. It's shoe and zoo. It's like totally different. But in sign, it's like this and this. It's gonna be totally the same, and they're not gonna get it. So let's do something else. Hmm. Like that's what the point of the toddler is. From 0 to 5, they're just a sponge. Like that's the time to learn language, and they're. The input is, it's just input, and they'll figure it out. Hmm. And trust me, if they're, you're not giving them what they want, they'll let you know. So, you know, if, you know, and you'll be able to.
No, not mine. They never throw tantrums.
Well, and, you know, I want to add to this that, you know, I didn't get the gamut of sign language, but I felt that the unfun signs were actually really helpful for me because my child loves to eat. And he wanted it right then and there. And it was frustrating because you don't know, do you want more? Do you want this? And so I felt like more and please, because if he didn't get more right away, he would throw a fit. But if he said please, it calmed him down from throwing the fit because he then was communicating to me, yes, mommy, I do want more. Would you please give it to me instead of throwing an absolute fit? And then when I'm all done. And so I found those signs to be really helpful for me.
Those are super helpful. I just have a different mindset in what I'm trying to help parents to really do mm-hmm. with baby sign language than what the books out there really strive for. I want parents to have their job be easier to take care of their children. I really do. And I teach all of those signs. I just find that what really inspired me was that my daughter was telling me about the airplane she heard in the sky. Mm-hmm. And that, so maybe that was a conversation that I couldn't have with a 10-month-old that didn't have signs.
So maybe in addition to, the working signs of please, more, thank you. But in addition to, you add these signs in because exactly what you said, I didn't think about the fact that he wanted to tell me about something that he saw earlier. I think that's a good perspective.
So if we were, so I'm interested in taking a baby sign language class, or maybe tell me about yours or some other tips. What do they look like? How old are some of the kids in your class?
Every instructor is a little bit different. There's probably 1,000 instructors that are part of the Signing Time Academy. So that's a great resource to go to, Signing Time Academy, and find an instructor nearby. There's lots of varieties of ages, and every baby stage is different. For my classes, I really focus on the age of 3 months to 18 months because I find at 18 months there's a different twist in the learning and how to keep them captive. And truly, in my class, I am teaching the parents. We keep it fun for the baby by doing the music and having the toys and doing interaction that comes naturally rather than forced. And music, that's a big part of it. We all tend to learn really well with music, the cadence, the rhythm, the songs get stuck in your head. Totally. So that's a really fun aspect of the classes.
Well, that's, I guess, sort of like the little secret is, as a parent, I actually really enjoy learning the signs, too, mm-hmm. and being able to have that vocabulary and kind of know and have that language with our kids.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to communicate across the room, too, with, like, your partner or whatever. You know, you can do little subtle
things. She just said a sign for no.
when my wife and I are in separate cars sometimes, like, I can tell her that, hey, the bait, like, Whitaker is asleep right now, and we can just do that across mm-hmm. the car. Thanks.
Right. To have that. We've been at the park so many times, and we have 3 kids, so like we're across the park watching different kids, and my husband's like, I'm taking this one to go potty. Exactly. So I don't think that they're just like heading to the car and leaving us.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I like that. No offense, but my son's 2 and there's a lot of no's going on, but I like and not to go back to the negative signs, but man, if I could tell him
Casey, we're going to have to have to have you jump ship.
I know, seriously. Well, like he's like I talked about earlier, he is so far away from me that I'm like, it's like a dog. You go to get them and they run farther and faster and you can't keep up with them. But I needed to teach him the sign for no. Just please, no, come back. Please, please,
please. See, please. See, now you use it on him. Please.
Yeah, please. Yeah, true.
In your class, do you see that maybe there's some kids that when they were younger, that then when they have younger siblings, that they're either helping out or coming back to the class?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The older kids love to be in the class because they become like the mini helper, the mini teacher. And what kid doesn't want to help? They love that because the spotlight is shined on them, and because they can actually get their fingers formed exactly right. They can see the sign one time and then they've got it. So then they're like an expert like me. So they love that. Yeah, older siblings are in my class all the time.
Nice.
So I mostly just did the milk sign, and she does it all the time, but now she's doing it as her wave, which is kind of cute. But what are some more ways to learn more signs and add? She's 1 year now, so.
Well, there is a lot. There's a lot of books that are on the market. I haven't really taken the time to read all of them, but I hear from parents that are in my classes what they've gotten from it. So there's a lot of books. One that I do recommend because I've read it, and it's Sign With Your Baby by Dr. Joseph Garcia. It's a quick read. You could read it in 90 minutes and get the information. I know parents don't have a lot of time, so I know something short is really, really viable. And then, of course, there are apps. So there's a lot of apps that are on the market. And then there's the Signing Time DVDs, which parents love. And I sell those on my website, and I sell them in my classes. And again, the music aspect, the play, the seeing other children sign in the videos, that's really helpful for both the parent to see the approximation that their child may be making, but also fun for the kid because kids like to emulate other kids. Yeah. So that's why I really like the Signing Time DVDs. And then I'm coming out with a webinar this spring because I have a lot of followers on Twitter and now starting on Facebook that are all over the country. And I'd love for them to fly me out to their neighborhood, to their neck of the woods to do a class, but that's not always possible. So I'm taking my workshop that I teach to parents and I'm creating a webinar, and they'll be available this spring.
Great. We'll put that information on our website. Thanks so much, Joanne Woolley, for helping us learn about sign language for baby. If you want more information, go to today's show on our episodes page on our website. Our conversation will continue with Joanne after the show for our Parent Savers Club members. We'll continue talking about other signs that we can do at home and see our website to sign up. We have a question for our sleep expert, Joanna Clark. This is from our Facebook page. Carol Potter says, I have an almost 4-month-old baby girl. My question is in regards to her naps. She takes about 3 naps a day. I have to rock her to sleep, but it only takes about 5 minutes for her to fall asleep. If I put her down in her co-sleeper, she either immediately wakes up or wakes up after 20 or 30 minutes. If I hold her, she sleeps an hour to an hour and a half. Is it better to always try and put her down so she doesn't get in the habit of someone holding her, even if it shortens the nap duration? Or is it more important to hold her so she gets a good rest and she isn't overtired throughout the day?
Hi, this is Joanna Clark of BlissfulBabySleepCoaching.com. And Carol is having a lot of questions right now about her 4-month-old baby girl. And having some questions in particular about naps. So, Carol, what I wanted to do is just give you a little bit of background information on what appropriate sleep expectations are for this 4 to 5 month old age group. A baby this young, which I really consider to be in the newborn phase, where sleep is not very well organized, which is one of the reasons why you're having some nap difficulties. Typically, a baby this age will take 4 to 5 hours of daytime sleep over the course of 3 to 5 naps. And sometimes these naps are small, short ones, like you're experiencing the 20 to 30 minutes naps. That is common. And babies this age also are sleeping about 10.5 hours at night. And of course, in that time frame, they are also nursing or feeding several times during the night. So that's not one long stretch. I should let you know that the minimum restorative period for a nap as a baby near 6 months is about 45 minutes. But in this young age, this common dilemma of 20 to 30 minute naps happens frequently. And often what you can do is help the baby go back to sleep to eke out another couple of 20 or 30 minutes to complete the sleep cycle. So I always recommend that. Your question about whether or not you should hold her to sleep or lay her down. My philosophy with this young age group, which is the newborn phase, 4 months old, is to really focus on getting your daytime sleep expectations any way you can get it. So if that means that you do have to hold your baby or put them in a carrier or stroll them or swing them, it's almost better to make sure that your baby's having ample nap opportunity during the day rather than try to do any kind of formal nap training because it really doesn't work at this young of an age. So again, I would just aim for those sleep expectations of 4 to 5 hours of daytime sleep spread over anywhere between 3 and 5 naps. If they're shorter naps, that's fine. You can always try to extend them. If you feel that the baby can get back to sleep, you can comfort them back to sleep. And just be patient during this period. There's lots of sleep disruptions in this time. And as your baby moves towards 6 months of age, you will definitely get the experience of having more regulated sleep because the hormones are regulating and sleep becomes more organized. So best of luck. Take care.
That wraps up today's episode. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for our expert about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775 or send us an email through our website, parentsavers.com, or Facebook page, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming episode. Don't forget to tune in to Behind the Scenes Parent Savers Club to keep listening. Next week, we're talking about mommy isolation after the baby arrives. Thanks for listening to Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.